the Know the Word and Know God podcast. It is not a politically correct nor a scientifically correct podcast. It is a biblically correct podcast. We do not cater to social positions that are popular today. We do not adjust our beliefs because of what science says. We follow the rules of the Bible, and the Bible is the final word on everything. So prepare yourself as you enter into Know the Word and Know God. Well, hello there. This is Wiley Walker, and thank you for tuning in to the first episode of Know the Word and Know God. So the point of this podcast to me is to study as much of the Bible as possible and really get to know the character of God, you know, God's relationship with us and his plan of salvation for mankind and his churches, his revelations, how he communicates with us, what he expects from us, and what our purpose is on this earth. So a lot of this will be, you know, what I believe, but I'm going to read from the Bible. And that's, to me, that's the key to understanding God, is reading it from the Bible. You know, a lot of people say, well, my God wouldn't do this, or my God is this. And I don't really agree with that kind of, you know, thinking, because I don't think a person could know God just by what they think, how they feel. I think that the way that you really know God, now you have to live it also, but the way to know God is by reading what he has wrote about himself in the Bible. And I believe that the Bible, you might as well say the Bible was written by God. I know God had man write, of course he had man write it down, but these men were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and they wrote basically what God told them to write. So it's kind of hard sometimes thinking, where do you begin? Where do you begin when you start a study of the Bible? And I think you start at the beginning. Like in any book, you start at the beginning. And the first statement in the Bible to me is a very, very powerful and descriptive statement about who God is. Because the first statement the Bible makes is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that right there tells you how powerful God is, that God created this earth and the heavens. Just, we haven't been to the heavens, but we're on the earth, and us as little humans, we can look at this big, big earth and know that that is something that's far beyond the realm of possibility for us to be able. That's something that is, I mean, we're on this earth and we need this earth to survive. We need the air. We need the water. Everything is already supplied too. God supplied the air, the water, the food, light, warmth. Everything is supplied on this earth. So it's a comfortable environment for us to live in. So I'm one of these people. I'll let you know what I think about certain things, just so you will know. I'm one of those people Whereas, you know, I'm not an anti-science person, but if science says something that I feel like if science says something that contradicts the Bible, then I have no choice but to believe what the Bible says. I have no choice but to believe what God says. And there's a big debate about that, about how many days the creation took, how long did it take? Was it, because science has made claims that the earth is millions, if not billions of years old. And the Bible doesn't say that if you read it literally. So I'm one of those purple people that take the Bible literally, as in it was 7 days. Now, time, I would think, didn't actually start until God. We measure time by the time it takes the earth to go around the sun and, you know, day and night. So the sun wasn't actually created until about the fourth day. So, I mean, I might not be right about that. I'm not going to claim that I know. I'm just saying what I believe as far as what I see in the Bible. So God created this entire earth and he created the heavens. That's the first thing that you read about God. So in Genesis 1, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you can read about the Spirit of God hovering over the faces of the water and stuff like that. But some of the things that are really important is God creating light. We see light today, and him dividing the light from the darkness, that has a lot of spiritual meaning to it. Because we as Christians, or we as people who are believers of God, or who have been born again, we are supposed to live in the light, not the sunlight, but we're supposed to be in the light, in the truth, in honesty, in love, you know, those, the things that are of God. And the darkness doesn't comprehend stuff like that. Doesn't comprehend love, being kind, and, you know, serving God. So, you know, God creates light and divides it from the darkness. That's the first day. That's the first day. So he goes on in 6 more days. He divides the waters from the waters, and I don't know what that really means, but he divides the waters from the waters under the firmament, and he calls the firmament heaven. So we look out into the sky and we see that there is what appears to be an infinite amount of space. And even just in the confines of this, of the earth, an airplane can fly thousands and thousands of feet into the air and cannot reach, and still will not reach the top of the heavens of the earth. So it's just awesome to think about how vast and how big this creation is compared to us little humans that are just here existing in this place. So God creates light, creates the waters, he creates the heavens, then he creates the dry land. And during this thing, he's saying all of these things are good. They're good because it supports life for us and life for everything that's on the earth. That's why he made it. That's why God made the earth. For us. It's a home for us. So he creates the earth and then the grass, the herbs in the field. And the seeds. Now seed is another very, spiritual concept, as in the work that you do, you plant seeds, you harvest. That's something that comes way into the later parts of the Bible. They start really talking about that when Jesus comes and reaping and sowing and things like of that nature, even though it's happening all the time, but the Bible really starts to explain it in more detail when Jesus comes to the earth. So, but just the seed that are in fruit, in plants, that are in the things in us, in humans, that everything has something in it where it can reproduce itself. I mean, isn't that awesome? That's a miracle in itself, that you can take a little seed and plant it and water it and take care of it. And the next thing you know, you have a big apple tree with hundreds of apples from that one seed. The things that God has created for this earth is just beyond belief. And, he says again, he saw that that was good. That was the third day. Now, like I said, on the fourth day, he put the lights and the firmament in the heavens to divide day from night, which we know we see the sun, we see the moon. Every day, well, except for like today, when you look out there and it's a cloudy, rainy day here today. But every day when you look out in the morning, there's the sun. And you look out at night, there's the moon and the stars. And it's a constant, everyday thing that happens over and over and over and over and over and over again every day, like clockwork. It's just the most obvious sign that there has to be a God. There has to be that what the Bible is saying is true, that there has to be some power that put all of this in place for it to work the way it works. And we have day and night, we have signs, we have seasons, of course, summer, winter, spring, fall, days, years. When you think of, that is just so tremendous to me to think about how wonderful the creation is. So you have the fourth day, and on the fifth day, God creates all of these abundance of living things that's moving around the earth, as far as he said he created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abound. So and when you think of all the, just in the sea, just in the waters, all of the life that exists in the waters and how magnificent and wonderful that is. It's just God showing his magnificence, his power, his glory. So you have that on the fifth day. On the sixth day, we come to this day, this great day where God creates all the living creatures, the cattle, the creeping things. He creates the fowl in the air. And what do you know? Now he creates, he said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created us in his own image. And then he blessed us and told us to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the earth, basically over the fish, over the birds, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And isn't that the way it is today? Doesn't man have dominion over this earth? We do, and we multiply, and we have filled the earth as far as I know, every section of the earth. You have all of these continents, countries, states, cities, towns, full of people going around doing their thing, which is their dominion that they have in this earth. So God gave every herb with the seeds and everything to us to be for food, and even the beasts of the field. And He gave them to be the plants, giraffes, elephants. He gave the green herbs for them to have food too. Now it's for, you know, today we eat animals, and that's, you know, that's a whole nother story. So God saw everything that he had made, and he saw that it was good. And that was the sixth day. So you get into chapter 2, and everything is finished. God has done everything. And so he decides to rest on the seventh day from all his work. And he blesses the seventh day. He sanctifies it. And he rested from all his work. So that's another. So that's something that God shows us that it's good for us to do. For us to have a Sabbath day, for us to rest from our work, to have a sanctified day, a holy day where we rest. And just as we do things because our earthly fathers, you know, a lot of us, we say, well, I do this because my dad did, or my father did, or whatever. And we as Christians should look the same way to God. That's our Heavenly Father. If God shows the example of something and he says he does it, that is something definitely that because we are made in his image. So we definitely should look at that and think that, well, my father does that. So I want to be like my father in heaven. So I'm going to do it too. So this so far has been the first chapter of Genesis, which I kind of went through it, just the main topics, the main points of it, and the beginning of chapter 2, where God finishes his works and he has a sanctified day and he rests. So as we go further into it, we get into the point where God is about to create Adam, and things are going to really start to develop as far as this relationship between God and man, and it's not all going to be good. So I think I'm going to take a pause right here and come back in a little bit and maybe discuss some of what happens once God creates Adam and Adam and Eve. Okay, thank you very much. I'll be right back. Okay, so welcome back to Know the Word and Know God. So we've got to the point where God has created everything and he's rested on the seventh day. And now God is ready to create Adam and put him in a garden that is in this place called Eden. It's the Garden of Eden. And God plants this garden and then he creates man from the dust. And basically, he just puts him in the garden and tells him that is his job, to take care of the garden. And this place is a beautiful place. It has four rivers. It has four rivers that run through it. It has every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which you're not supposed to touch, and the tree of life. There's another land, Havilah, which has gold and many other. This place is just beautiful. And Adam is put into this garden to tend and to keep it. Okay, but there is one condition. God says, he commands them and says, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. So this is another aspect of the relationship with God. You know, God is a very loving God and he provides everything. He gives us. He created us and you know, people love themselves. We have sight. We can hear. We can enjoy food. We can enjoy people. We enjoy just life in general. And God has made all of this possible for us to be at our disposal. Life, our loved ones, our family, our friends, our jobs. So, but back to Adam in the Garden of Eden. So he gives him one command, to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that is one of the other aspects of worshiping God. It has to be your choice. It has to be your choice to be obedient and to love God. It has to be your choice. He has to give you a choice. You have to have a choice to follow God, obey God, or not. So At this point, God creates, God says it's not good for Adam to be alone. It's not good for anybody to be alone. I mean, we know that. I mean, nobody wants to be alone. Everybody wants, ideally, to have a wife, kids. I mean, I'm not married, don't have any kids, but, you know, I have a lot of friends. I have family. And, you know, it's sometimes even lonely for me, especially when I go to church and I see all these people with families and they have, you know, a wife or they have kids. It's just, you know, I know it's not perfect, but it's, you know, it's the way God intended it to, for ideally for man, for women, for man and women to become one and enjoy life. But through circumstances in my life and things that happen, which is a whole nother long story, which I won't bore you with the details of that, that just never happened for me. So, but anyway, God makes Adam a helper. First, he makes him, I guess you would call, a lot of pets that Adam gets to name each animal that God creates, whatever he decides he wants it to be named. So after all of this is done, now all of a sudden Adam doesn't have a helper. So God causes a great sleep to fall on Adam, and then he takes one of his ribs and creates woman and brings the woman to Adam. And Adam said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were innocent right now. They didn't know good and evil. They were innocent. They, you know, it was no sin in the world at this point. They were just in the garden together. And they were just there serving God and doing their serving thing and getting to serve on and doing what God say to do, enjoying the animals. And they were naked and they were not ashamed. So this ends the second chapter of Genesis. So one other thing I will mention, because I think it's important to mention it. There's even a big controversy right now. I think, is it the Methodist Church over the LGBT community? About gay, homosexual, things in the church, about if should, you know, gay people be allowed to get married? Should there be gay preachers and things of that nature? Because Christians have traditionally always said that homosexuality is a sin, an abomination. And now, because society has got to a place where they want to integrate homosexuality and make it just as normal as a man and a woman, you know, a man and a woman, they want to say that if a man and a man gets married, or a woman and a woman, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So that's a whole different level of, you know, if the government wants to say, if a government wants to say that and they want to protect the rights of people who have that belief, who have that desire in their life, who involve themselves in those kinds of relationships, and the government wants to do it, okay, that's the government. But when it comes to the church is supposed to be doing what thus says the Lord. So you can't justify having, you know, sexual sin, homosexuality in the church. You just can't do it. I mean, you can. You can. But I'm talking about if you want to obey what the Lord, what God says. Just like God told Adam not to eat from the tree of knowledge, God has said that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that unless a person is married, they're not supposed to be having sex. Now, we know that that is not anything that is a reality. I mean, people have sex out of marriage all the time. And this is the issue that comes up. I'm going off on this issue right here, really. And it's kind of, but it's an important issue at this point in time. And that's really what we really have to be focused on, is this point in time, where the world is, where Christians are, how society is, how we deal with sin and issues in the church, and to have this issue. So this issue has become an issue basically of civil rights. So, and plus, homosexuals and other people have said that the church and Christians are hypocrites, and that the church is teaching hatred of gay people and things of that nature by calling them abominations. By, you know, if a person goes into the church, if a gay person goes into the church and the preacher speaks on homosexuality, that person is going to feel uncomfortable. But that's what sermons are. That's what the church is. I mean, the church is for people who have decided that they want to serve the Lord. The church can't be out here catering to everybody's, to catering to all kinds of people. And it's not a political place where politicians look at the issues of the people in their district and they adjust and fight for the rights of those people. The church is coming to teach God's word. The church is coming into the area to preach the gospel, to bring the gospel. And if a person hears the gospel and learns the gospel, and they decide that that is not something for them, then they should just, the church should, and them should not be affiliated. The church and them should, they shouldn't be in the church. If they don't want to follow the teachings of Christ, follow the ways of God, you should not be in the church. What's the point of being in the church if you don't want to? Now, people will say, well, you know, maybe they'll be there and something will eventually happen and they might get saved and things of that nature. Okay, so I kind of take that back and say, I'm not going to say that a person shouldn't go to the church. I believe that. But that's not really for me to say. I would have to really study on that. But I know one thing is that if you are in the church and you have sin in your life, then the church has the right to confront that sin. And you're living in open sin, or something comes out, and it doesn't have to be because you're in a homosexual or you're out there having, it could be a man and a woman are living together and they're not married. And it could be that a person is doing shady business practices. It could be that a man is cheating on his wife. Whatever it is, it can't be allowed to be going on in the church. But I mean, I said all of that because we got to the point to where now God is giving Adam a commandment, which we know that he eventually is going to break. And there's consequences when that happens. So this will conclude this podcast. This will conclude this episode. And I'm going to try my best to add an episode every day that I can. This is Saturday, so basically my Sabbath day is Sunday. I go to church Sunday, and I try not to really involve myself in stuff and do work. But, you know, preaching the word or teaching the word or studying the word with people, that's different in a way. But I would try my best to put out a different podcast. If people hear this and they like it and it really starts to, you know, gain some listeners, then I would try to go through as much as the Bible as possible. So anybody that's out there listening, I really appreciate you listening, and I look forward to any feedback you have and to you listening again. Once again, this is Wally Walker on the Know the Word and Know God podcast. Have a blessed day. May God bless you. May we all study and be more diligent in our faith and love and obedience to God and the Word. Thank you. Here's a little preview of what you can expect in the next podcast. Adam and Eve fall and they sin against God and disobey him, which brings about sin into the world and murder. So we're going to find out in the next podcast whether or not God is a just God. Is he fair? So tune in for the next episode of Know the Word and Know God.